Well, good morning to you. Glad you're all here today. Welcome to this. This is the first one that we've done in a while. We're celebrating National Back to Church Sunday. And this is something being celebrated by churches. About 5,000 churches across the country are joining with us today doing the same thing. Whether it's your first time here or it is the first time in a long time or part of your regular rhythm, we're just glad you're here. If you're a guest today, I just want to assure you that no matter where you are on your faith journey, please know that you matter and that you belong here. Life is a little hard and stressful sometimes, and it can be very difficult to navigate on our own. But when we walk together with honesty and grace, we begin to see God more clearly, and we begin to feel His presence more deeply. The church, as imperfect as we are, and believe me, we're imperfect, it's meant to be a place where we can experience God's love through community. And being a part of church family, it isn't about having it all figured out. None of us do. It's about showing up. It's about building relationships, real ones, and discovering the hope and the healing and the purpose that Jesus offers. And we believe that as we open our hearts to each other, we also open ourselves to the powerful work that God wants to do in us and through us. And that's why we believe that we are better together. Now, have you noticed that life has some things that are just better together? Have you noticed that? I've noticed, not recently. Where's my wife? She's out there somewhere. Oreos and milk go really well together. Have you noticed that? Oreos are good. Milk is good. But Oreos and milk, that's magic, right? What about movies and popcorn? I mean, what is it about popcorn that even if you're watching like a B-movie or something, you know, the popcorn there, it figures into the mix and it makes it somehow a little bit better. How about peanut butter and jelly? Yay. Hey, okay. Batman and Robin? Yeah. Peas and carrots. I didn't get as rousing a response on that one, did I? Where's Daria? How about beach and sunsets? Did I get an amen there? All right. And then there's bacon and everything. Bacon goes with everything, right? So some of these things may exist perfectly on their own, but they become really winning combinations when you put them together. Isn't that true? So as true as this principle is in random daily life, it's even more true when it comes to relationships that we invest in and community that we exist in. Think about your favorite memories. Your favorite memories, chances are they're not because of what you were doing so much as who you were doing it with. And that's the beauty of being part of a church family. When we gather together as God's church, Jesus is present in a very special way. And as we learn more about Him, we learn how to work together, we learn how to serve our community, and we learn how to set our eyes on Jesus priorities. We were talking this morning in our Bible for Life class. We started today, first one, and we're in the book of 1 John, and one of the things we talked about, and we're going to continue to talk about through that whole Bible study, and we hope you'll come, is that we're going to be talking about a Christian worldview. What does it mean to see the world through God's eyes? Well, that's setting our eyes on God's priority and being able to see the world through His eyes. Jesus says this Himself in the Gospels. He says, again, I truly tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by My Father in heaven. And here's the kicker part. For where two or three gather in My name, there am I with them. Doesn't mean God's not there at all other times. But it means there is a special presence of God when we gather together in His name. These verses are part of a bigger conversation Jesus is having. He's teaching about community life and particularly how believers should handle conflict and how they should seek reconciliation as a way of honoring each other and as a way of honoring God. Jesus is making a very important point when he says, where two or three gather. I mean, he means that no gathering is too small to matter to God. All right? Is that good? Whether in a quiet living room or around a kitchen table or a church worship center, Jesus promises to be with us when we come together with him at the center. Now, it's both an invitation and a promise. When we seek him together, he shows up in a big way. First of all, we are created, or were created, for connection. This is the way God made us. It's the way we're wired. From the very beginning, God designed us for relationships. In Genesis, right away, in chapter 2 and verse 18, it says, it is not good for man to be alone. Now, he wasn't just talking about marriage here. He was talking about a deeper truth, about human nature. We are made in the image of a relational God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That means we're wired for community. We are not wired for isolation. And I know we can get isolated, and I know sometimes we feel very comfortable by ourselves, but we are meant to be connected to God. And when we're connected to God, we can experience a deep connection to one another. And maybe you've experienced that. There's an old story about a man who stopped going to church. And he didn't make a big deal about it. He just sort of slowly drifted away. And one cold evening, the pastor stopped by for a visit. And the man welcomed him in, and they sat by the fireplace. And they just sort of sat in silence for a little bit. And after a few minutes, the pastor got up and went over to the fire, and he picked up the fire tongs, and he grabbed a single glowing coal, and he set it on the hearth. And as they sat there and watched it, the coal grew dimmer and dimmer, and then turned gray. And still, they didn't say anything. But a few minutes later, the pastor picked up the coal, and he put it back into the fire. And it began to glow again. And it got bright and it got hot. The man just looked over to the pastor and said, I'll be at church Sunday. Alone, we grow cold. But together, we stay warm and even hot for the Lord. That's the power of connection. And that's the kind of belonging that God designed us for, right? When we isolate ourselves, we miss out on one of God's greatest gifts, one another. True connection helps us carry burdens, celebrate victories, and grow in the faith. And as we walk together, we have the opportunity to reflect God's love in some pretty powerful ways. And the world sees that. The world can see the beauty of Christ-centered community in action. The Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, I know that's number one on your hit parade when you read the Bible, but this book of Ecclesiastes talks about this powerful truth as well. It says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. You know, Ecclesiastes, it's an odd book in the Old Testament, but it's considered wisdom literature. And, you know, like Job and Proverbs, they're part of wisdom literature. And it's interesting to me that a part of what the author teaches and writes about here has to do with relationships. And if you read the whole book, you're probably sometimes wondering, well, why is, why is this God's word? I listened actually to Tim Keller talking about Ecclesiastes this morning, and one of the things he points out is that, you know, this book is actually not written from a godly perspective. It's Solomon writing, but he's writing from a more worldly, secular viewpoint. He's sort of showing what his point is this is what the world looks like without God in it. All is meaningless, he says, and over and over. But two are better than one, even the secularist notices. There's an old saying that alone we can go fast, but together we can go far. When people work together, they can accomplish a whole lot more than they can alone. When people work together, you can accomplish a whole lot more. Our life inevitably has moments of failure or weakness. One of the things we sang about here this morning, you know, that we go through failure, and yet, even in our failures, God loves us. He's always right there, and he cares about what happens to us. Having someone to help in those times is amazing. The author uses an illustration to communicate the need to connect with one another. He says, you know, one by themselves, they could be easily overpowered. Two could defend themselves together. But a cord of three strands is not easily broken. Seems too easy, too cliche to say there's strength in numbers, especially when one of the trio is God. But God is one of those people. This is how it's supposed to work in God's church. You plus me plus Jesus equals strength. Now I know, me and Jesus, that works too. But God created us for community. You and me and Jesus, that's strength. Think about, you know, I've got a wooden dowel in my hand this morning, you know, and think about how, you know, this wooden dowel in your hand, one by itself, it's easily broken. You know, we can put two together, and, you know, I could probably break this over my knee. I try not to break my knee in the process. But by the time I add a third dowel to that, it becomes pretty much impossible to break with your bare hands, you know, unless you're, you know, better working out in the gym a lot. There is strength in numbers. When we just have that single strand, that's us alone, life can leave us vulnerable and pretty easily broken. But when there's more than one, it takes more force. And when one of those is God, it becomes nearly impossible to break. It suddenly, it's a totally different story. And that's the power of community, godly community. Together, we are nearly impossible to break. And that's the wisdom that I think Ecclesiastes is trying to teach us there. With this kind of strength in our life, it equips us to be change agents. Have you heard that expression, to be a change agent? Somebody who makes things change. Somebody who creates change. And a difference maker. You want to make a difference, right? You know, sometimes we come close to the end of our lives, and, you know, as I'm getting older, I start to realize more and more, you know, what kind of legacy am I living? Because you have to live it before you leave it. So what kind of legacy am I living? And then what kind of legacy will be left? I hope I make a difference. You know, I've seen the church rise to the occasion so many different times. You know, a lot of you know that I worked in disaster relief for a couple of years and got to see firsthand the devastation of some pretty big hurricanes. Charlie was the first one I was involved with, and the last one was Katrina. And we know what devastation those hurricanes did. But because of the way people rose up to help in those situations, we also saw some miracles. We saw some lives saved. We saw lives restored and people, their lives rebuilt. And some folks ended up, and this is strange to say, ended up in a better place after than before. You'd never think that with a terrible thing that happened like that. But it was true. And I saw it lots of the time. And I think it has something to do with this. There's an Anglican priest by the name of William Temple who said, life alone, whoops, next one. The church is the only cooperative society in the world that exists for the benefit of its non-members. Does that make sense to you? Let me say it again. The church is the only cooperative society in the world that exists for the benefit of its non-members. And that's exactly the kind of community that Jesus calls us to be. People who don't just gather together for their own sake. Yeah, we get a lot out of it, sure. But God calls a people who exist to bring light and love and hope into a hurting world. Do we have a hurting world right now? We gather not only to be filled, but also to be sent out. See, church isn't just what happens in this building. It's about how we live outside of it, too. When we're united for Christ, we become a force for good. We're stronger together. And we can shine God's love into every neighborhood and school and workplace and the community that we live in. Amen? Book of Hebrews was written to the early Christian church just as it was beginning to take shape after Jesus' life and death and resurrection. And it was a letter to the church before it was called a book. And the small group of believers who received it, they were being tempted to throw in the towel. They were tempted to give up on their Christian faith because there was a lot of persecution and a lot of pressure was going on. And you know, if you know about that situation, there was a lot of economic pressure in some situations where, you know, people were not able to buy or sell unless they were part of a certain guild. And it just got harder and harder. And the author is pleading with those in the church to stay strong and to continue to gather together with one another. And so in Hebrews 10, he writes this really familiar passage, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. What day is he talking about? The day of the Lord. That's what he's talking about, the day of the Lord. Now, in the early church, these Jewish believers, this particular group, had stopped gathering, some of them anyway, maybe out of fear, maybe because they were tired, maybe out of weariness, or maybe they were just darn discouraged. But the author of Hebrews makes it really clear that the meeting together isn't an optional thing. It's essential for staying spiritually strong. And the word encouraging here is actually this word spur that the King James uses, and to spur someone on. I mean, the passage is talking about going beyond a gentle encouragement. It's kind of a loving proclamation, or a provocation rather, where you provoke somebody to move. It's giving someone a firm push in the right direction. Meeting together as a church pushes us towards a deeper faithfulness with Jesus. Think about a cowboy using his spurs. You know, he's got spurs on his boots. The intention is not to harm the horse, but to prompt it forward with energy and with purpose. And in the same way, believers are called to challenge and inspire each other. The only way the church could carry on the mission that Jesus gave us is by coming together. The early church came together again and again and again. You see that right at the bottom of Acts chapter 2. Right away, as soon as that big church was formed, they began to meet together and study together and pray together and worship together. And that kept them united in purpose. See, doing what Jesus calls us to do, it takes a commitment to community. Committing to community means more than just attending church when it's convenient. It's about making a decision to belong, to show up, to pour your life into other people as much as we receive. The early church, they didn't gather because of habit or obligation. There was no habit. This was new. And they didn't gather out of obligation. Well, I have to go to church. I have to worship because that's what God expects. You know, I think that's sometimes our attitude, right? I've got to go to church Sunday. But they gathered together because they knew, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that they needed each other. That's one of the things I talk about Celebrate Recovery a lot, but you know, that's one thing you know about people who are struggling is that they realize that they need each other. They know they need God, and they know they need each other, and it's a perfect combination, and it makes us a strong community. We are called to be intentional with our relationships and to be consistent with our presence together at worship. True community happens when we move beyond surface-level connection and into deep, spirit-led relationships where we can be known and challenged and encouraged by one another. I don't know if you saw the film Bonhoeffer that was out earlier in the year. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote some books that really had impact on my life in terms of thinking about community. One of them is called Life Together. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes about a time when he was leading a secret seminary, get that word out, during the Nazi occupation in Germany. And it was a small, tight-knit group of young men who were training for ministry. And they were training under extreme pressure and threat. Such schools were banned at that point. And life was simple in those communities, and often really difficult because of this persecution. They knew they could get arrested at any time. But these little communities were very deep with spiritual depth. They were very rich. They shared meals, and they had prayers and scriptures together, and they had confessions together and teaching. And one day somebody asked Bonhoeffer why he insisted on maintaining this close-knit Christian community when there was this danger of everybody being arrested and put in prison. And he replied that the gift of being together in Christ was not something to be taken for granted. He called it a divine blessing. He said, many Christians throughout history had longed for and gone without this kind of community. And Bonhoeffer believed that with other believers, even in suffering, being together was essential to faithfulness. Here's one of the things he wrote in that book. He wrote, the physical presence of other Christians is a source of incomparable joy and strength to the believer. When we commit to community, when we're saying yes to the right kind of transformation that only happens in the context of real people doing life together, that's what we're saying yes to. When we do life together, we become part of something bigger than ourselves. We're part of a movement of love and grace and truth that reflects even the core of the heart of Jesus in the world. So we don't just attend, we belong. We don't just visit, we invest ourselves. And being a part of a community isn't about convenience, it's really about calling. It's a heavenly calling. You're being called to a heavenly family. Amen? Still track it? As we gather this morning, I want to encourage you to consider making a commitment to church, even this church, to make it a place that you call your own and that you might call your home. We believe that we are better together, and that includes every single one of you. This church is not just a building. It's a family that we support, where we grow, where we encourage one another. So, you know, if that concept's been drifting with you for a while, maybe commit it to prayer. Maybe talk to God about that. And make a commitment to make it a priority to gather together with your brothers and sisters in Christ, to worship together and to grow together. Consider joining a small group. That's a simple, easy thing to do. You know, we've got three really good ones right now. There's a room to start another one here. This is a place where deeper relationships are formed, where you can share life together, where you can pray together, and where you can grow in your faith. You know, it always blesses my heart when I hear about somebody's in the hospital or somebody needs a meal or somebody, and I go there and somebody's already been there. Or they've got more meals than they know what to do with. You know, that just blesses my heart. You know, we come together in those times of need, and where we can share in a smaller group sometimes some things that we can't share with the body at large, just because, you know, all these very personal things that are happening in our lives, you know, they're not always easy to share with a big group of people, but with a few select folks that you've been gathering together with and learn to trust, you can share in those kinds of situations. And you can grow in your faith in those kind of groups. And so we invite you to do it and be a part of one of them. You can also consider serving in a mission effort. Now we have some local mission efforts right here in this church. I've talked about Celebrate Recovery. That's a good one. And we can always use some help with things like in food, and people want to bring snacks. That's cool too. Or become a leader. Almost always people who come, they come to help and then they realize, oh, I need this too. I need the encouragement that comes with this. Or the food pantry. Think about the food pantry. Right now we're feeding over 30 families every month out of this church. And plus the people who come and go for all the bread and things that come and go during the week. And it's a blessing. It's a major blessing in people's lives, and we're getting to know a lot of people. And right now things are tough. Things are really tough. Price of everything's gone up. It's a good place to volunteer. And I mentioned earlier the after-school fun club. You know, that's another mission that we have. God brought those children right to our doorstep. And what a blessing that is. If you can help with that, we can sure use some extra hands. So those are just a few examples of places where you could volunteer, where you could serve in an effort that really is making a difference. And, you know, there's something very powerful about coming together with others to make a difference in the community. And it really does reflect God's love to the people around us. And the last thing I've got up here is consider participating or consider growing through Bible for Life classes. You know, we just got started again today, and you know, we got classes for kids, we've got classes for middle schoolers, we've got classes, the teens are in, the youth are in with the adults right at the moment, but it's a chance for us to grow in Christ, to dig into the Word, to learn more about who God really is. So I encourage you to be part of that. That happens at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, and it's an easy opportunity to learn more about Jesus and to build some lasting connections with each other. Now, this is your chance to invest in something that will last. Community, faith, relationships that can change lives. That's what church is. So let's take that step today. Let's take that step together. Let's walk this journey together. We promise that you won't regret it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you, in your wisdom, created us for connection. And we thank you for reminding us today that life is truly better together. We are grateful for the gift of community and for our brothers and sisters in Christ who encourage us and strengthen us and walk with us through both joy and struggles. Lord Jesus, you promise that where two or three are gathered in your name, you're present among us. We hold on to that promise right now. Help us to commit ourselves to one another, not just to attend, but to belong, not just to visit, but to invest. May this church be a place where your love is seen and your spirit is felt and your mission is carried out. Holy Spirit, guide us as we leave this place today. Empower us to carry your light into our homes and our schools and our workplaces and our neighborhoods. Teach us to serve with joy, to encourage one another with hope, to reflect the love of Christ in all we do. We ask this in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We're going to sing the blessing to conclude the service. So at the end of this singing of the song, we're going to be done today.